This is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:36 p.m. Eastern Time. We move to a roll call. Nathan Wakefield is present.
Louis is present.
Ian Michael Lowen.
Present.
Thank you, Ian. Noel Yee. Mr. Yee is absent. Marvin Ong.
Here.
Shavela Schwab.
I am here.
Yeah. Scott Kane.
Present and accounted for.
All right. Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Thank you, Mike. Afton Benson.
Here.
Aaron Stevens.
Here.
All right. Martin Frost. Absent at current, but I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up stealthily later, as he tends to do. Dan Holzman.
Here.
Excellent. All right, guys, moving on to approval of agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Ian here. I'll make a motion to approve.
Nice. Moving to a do we have a second?
Scott.
This should be a second.
I heard Scott. Pretty close, though. Pretty close. All right. Do we have any discussion? Do a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Any abstentions? Motion is approved for this agenda. Moving on to item 4, approval of minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the business board meeting minutes from April 24th, 2017?
Shavela will.
Thank you, Shavela. Do we have a second?
Marvin.
Marvin, thank you. Do I need any discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the approval of these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes are approved. We move on to reports, and we begin with financial report from Afton Benson. Afton, what do we got?
Oh, that's me. Not too much. The board saw the 990, which Dennis email the final one today that we can post and all that jazz. excuse me, sorry. I was sick last weekend, so I'm trying to run through everything to make sure it's cool and calm and collected. Yeah, so far, I mean, most of our expenses and things come in for the festival, and we haven't had a lot of that yet because of the way that the contracts are structured for both the venue and the hotel and whatnot from everything I'm understanding between Mike and Dan. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, so we've just had some print stuff, and then haven't really, like, we got Vivica's airline fare taken care of and all that jazz, but we'll be ready to go with that once we get to the festival. So, and then Mike and Dan, you guys had a meeting. You have a meeting this week, I think, with one of the venues regarding
yeah,
the
tomorrow.
Contract. Cool, and you guys will email me that when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Then I can keep up on that. Otherwise, I have a fair amount of the contracts back, so I know who needs to be paid and when they need to be paid, but they're not all signed, and I also need to know for the group ones, who am I paying, and multiple performers are going to need to fill out a W-9, so...
Send me an email, Afton, with all that, and I'll get to the performers for you.
You got it. Otherwise, that's about it. That's a pretty quick financial one.
Nice, Afton. Cool. Any questions, comments, board?
Great,
Afton.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Short and sweet. Thank you very much, Afton. Moving on to 2017 festival report. Dan.
Sure. We had some good news. The one conflict at the hotel was a wedding that was going to come in on Saturday that would cause us to have to move some of our our history museum and not have something set up. That got canceled, so now we're like the only game in town at the hotel, and we have the ballroom in the middle, which was our free space, and upstairs, so we can keep the history museum open longer, and we have a lot of extra space that will have no conflict coming in. So that was pretty good news for us.
So are you saying the IJA called a wedding to be called off? Were we responsible for that?
I don't know. For whatever reason, love failed.
Yeah. Good news for the bride and groom, too, I hope.
Breaking up marriages since 1947.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should count them to the festival.
That's on the shirt. That's so funny, Scott. I'm trying to sum it up on the shirt, and that's it right there.
Wait, did Dan hold
that? Oh, man.
That was funny.
No, that was good, Scott. I'll give you that one. Okay. I'm not levity, Scott. You're always so funny. Quiet.
Yes, thank you.
So that leads us to the aerial workshop, because we're going to move the aerial workshop up into that room because we can leave it up there the whole time. And the good news is I talked to Laura today, and the interest will pay for what they want, which is just hotel rooms. So it's a nice thing where we can offer these aerial workshops. It's not costing the IG anything. And there's good response and interest, according to Laura today. So I'm leaving it up to her now to schedule exactly the times. But we can pretty much leave it up there now and not have to move it too much. The three extra shows have all confirmed. I got that to Martin. There's the juggler at the water skiing show, the juggler at the band concert. So the water skiing show is Jonah Greenhouse. The one at the band is Smirk. And the two at the library are Sam Malcolm and Tony Steinbeck. And in addition to being paid by those venues, except for Jonah, who I'm paying $250 to do that, they're also instructed to, of course, promote the shows. So promotionally, that costs us very little. In fact, I think each act is getting like $500 from those venues, which will also help them, of course, in their expenses for the festival. So that's a really good opportunity to promote during the festival. And I still have four more performers to confirm for the Buskers event on Saturday morning, which is a definite go, because the woman there is really excited and very supportive. Like fire and knives, she's like, oh, the more the better. So you don't hear that very often. So they can do all their fire and danger stuff at the Buskers Festival. So those are the extra shows. They've all been confirmed except for the performers at the Buskers event. Some new performers who might be joining us are Pat McGuire, who I've been talking to, and Tom Wall. Neither are confirmed yet, but they're both expressed a lot of interest, and I'm working with them to see if I can have them out. Also, Tom Renegade. I would have Pat in the... I'd probably have them both in the Cascade of Stars. I've left two spaces open. So I'm still also looking for an MC, and I think maybe Tom might be a good MC. But I'm also have another MC idea. But they're both strong performers, and neither one would really cost, because at this late date, I've told them I have really no budget for them. So I'd work out, like, registration and lodging, you know, maybe let Pat share my room. We're good friends. I don't know, you know. But that's nice that those two kind of caliber performers is starting to draw interest from people who are now saying, okay, I'm going to come too. So that's nice.
Cool.
And then we have Tom Renegade, who I think it's important to have a good prop selection, and also for people to try the newest props, another reason for them to come. And he's bringing all the new props from Team RDL. He'll have three tables of experimental new props and also be part of the Renegade show. So I think that's cool. Yeah. He hasn't been in many years, and he's bringing Ryo Yabe with him. So that's kind of crazy, you know, the great Diablo player. So and he said that we can promote Ryo, but we already have Diablo in the show. Maybe he can do a special workshop. There's a big group from the Sundae Diablo team, and they have all the newest Diablo stuff. So it's nice we have a lot of new cutting-edge props coming with Renegade and also Flow Toys, who specialize in LED props, or will also be there. So the prop thing is looking good. Also what's looking good is I was a prelim judge for the individuals. I talked to Vivica, and we have six teens and six juniors who all passed through without having to be seen by the preliminary judges. But they had a bigger selection of individuals, and I was one of the preliminary judges and watched all the preliminaries last night. And I'm very pleased with the overall quality, and I think it will make a very nice show. So I was very entertained
Great.
And I think someone here who might be interested, I thought she did very well and had a very nice performance. So I won't say who that was, but I thought
wonderful.
It was very, very well done.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought very
mystery.
Well put together, very entertaining. I enjoyed it. Okay, but I probably shouldn't say that as a preliminary judge, but we're not saying who that was. Okay, then on to the AV quote. I've been talking with Jason, who's the AV fella, and we'll also go over that with Mike, in more detail, me and Mike. But the quote came in very good within our budget, and I think we can work with that quite well. He's also been very adaptable. His first quote was quite high, but also I had to put a lot of things in there I thought we could do without. So that would be quite easy to work with him on the quote for the festival AV. We're working on the shirt design, and I put it out for some feedback, and got some good feedback, got some weird feedback, but that's almost taken care of as well, and I think I feel I have a good grasp on that, and it'll be a nice shirt. And that's all the notes I got.
Can you show us the final design before it's printed?
Oh, of course, and also there's been feedback about the logo. I put out a logo. There was sort of an experimental logo this designer had done. I felt it was a little funky looking, so I thought, let me put it out there and see what the general take on it was. And I think, first of all, I think there was sort of some feedback to go back to the original just out of sort of tradition for the IGA. But nobody liked it better. Nobody was like, oh, we got to go with it. So I think we go with the traditional logo. And I'd like to add the 70 festivals on the back and their locations. Like we did on the 60th, but, you know, now for the 70th. I think that's a nice touch.
I think using the original logo is what we need to do at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, I wanted to put the other one out for feedback, and if everybody loved it, maybe we could have a discussion about it. But, you know, someone said it looked like elongated carrots or something.
Yeah, it's been going on in the background a while, a discussion about logos and things. And overall, the consensus has been, we're sticking with the traditional logo until something else pops up. It's like been thrown back and forth for a while, but I think that's where it's settled pretty nicely for now. The one logo I was thinking about getting on there, maybe on the sleeve or something, is the festival logo that we've been using on the website.
Oh, yeah.
And other Facebook.
Yeah, the idea is to kind of have, I'm sorry, go ahead, I cut you off, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Just that maybe working that festival logo in too, because people have been seeing that in other places. So kind of to tie that in again.
Yeah, the idea is kind of if we can have the logo, if it's not too busy, like on the sleeve. I think that's nice. Or even on the shoulders. I think the slogan, feel the glow, in that kind of logo that you've created, and the list of the 70 festivals on the back was what I was thinking of.
It would be pretty cool. Then people could, like, circle their festivals they've been to, or, like, put a star next to them with a Sharpie or something. That would be... Just that fun.
Yeah, but those were the elements I thought I would add. I think I thought it was too busy with the thing on the front. It was kind of on the belly button, which I thought was weird placement.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put those things out there to see what people think. And so I think we take that logo, and we got money from the Fund. The Fund also came back with their report. And I think they got some really nice things that really also helped me a lot. Like they're bringing in a DJ and a sound system. The t-shirts will glow. They're paying for the extra cost of the... It wasn't in my original budget for the t-shirts to glow in the dark. And I think that's super cool that all the t-shirts glow in the dark, especially the IJ logo. And I had to talk with John about what would look best. If all the locations glowed, would that be too much, or do you want a lot to glow? I don't know. I'll rely on his expertise. So the elements I want to work in are the logo, you know, the IJ logo, the slogan, the stuff Louis did, the branded logo for this year, and the locations. Of the festivals on the back and on the sleeve is the plan. So I'll be glad to also then, of course, pass it by you guys for any feedback and before I do anything final.
Sounds good, Dan. A couple of quick questions I had. So did I see we're having two nights of Renegades now? Is that a change?
Yes. Yeah, we're having two nights, Friday and Saturday. I thought Saturday was going to be kind of a Renegade / award ceremony because I thought we'd have to move it into the gym. Like, once again, because of the wedding, so I thought, well, then we'll make a kind of an awards presentation thing. But since we can leave it up there, that's also going to be another Renegade. And I think people also, the feedback was that people wanted at least two nights of Renegade. So I thought,
yeah,
let's do it. Yeah.
That makes
sense. We'll have two nights of Renegade for sure, Friday and Saturday nights.
What's going on with the workshop situation?
Oh, workshops are looking great. First of all, we have all these special workshops with Jay, Peter, Alexis, and Amaron all scheduled in already. And then the other day I got a great workshop from this guy, Philip Johnson, who does performance and audience connection. This guy's a great silent performer who I've seen work. He does silent shows with Renaissance fairs and makes big hats.
Yeah,
he really
I know
how
Philip
to connect.
Johnson Mooney, and he's yeah. one of the best at audience pulling, working with an audience and pulling up people from the audience and really, really working with them. It's, he's doing a workshop that people should attend that. It's one that he's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So I think as a performer, if you're a performer. Yeah, Mooney, he works with
exactly.
Mooney and Brune.
I love
yeah,
yeah. him. I
yeah,
love
yeah.
him.
He's amazing.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so we talked the other day. So like, I think as a performer, to be able to take Jay's workshop, Peter's workshop. Now, this is basically specifically for performers because the basis is this audience connection. But another nice mm-hmm. offering, and me and Matt have been working now to just sort of fill in the other places. And he's going to put out a report to people he knows first, but also an open call. We want to get these other ones sort of placed in first and see how much space we have left up. But we have a great workshop. What's the question, though?
Yeah, I was just curious because, like, I hadn't heard anything, so I wasn't sure if you guys were soliciting or going to put out a schedule or how that works. But it sounds like you're kind of, like, going along that route. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, also... You know, me and Matt, like I said, we've been working on it. We've been filling people in. We haven't put anything out there. But I'd say about 70-80% is already kind of filled in with the major workshops. There's going to be other ones uh-huh. we're going to add. But we're never going to have more than, like I went to MOPS and also in Fire Drums. We'll have like 8 or 9 workshops going at the same time.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't know. I think we have 2 or 3 at the most at one time.
Sure.
We want to get the major ones scheduled in first. Oh, yeah, I know. Nothing official yet as far as scheduled to put out yet.
Dan, we on a normal festival, we have 50 to 100 regular free, you know, one-hour workshops.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying there's not going to be much time and slots for those?
No, I'm just saying we're just scheduling the major ones first so we can schedule around them and not see what's going to compete with them. Like, we'll have Peter and 2 other ones going on. We just want to kind of figure out, you know, where the special ones are, we don't want to schedule against those. Like, I have a meet and greet with Gina Schwartzman or something. I want to make sure I know what time that is before I put other something that might be popular that would draw people from something I want to highlight.
Okay.
But so I think we'd have at least that number, 40 or 50, I would think, for sure.
I haven't seen any call for volunteers to teach workshops, so that's...
That's the last thing we're going to do. Matt's reaching out to people first that he wants to... You know, that he feels are the best workshop instructors. So the idea was the special ones first, and he's going to reach out to people individually he wants to, who he knows are coming, to schedule their workshops. Then we'd put out an open call last. So that's probably a week away or so? Huh?
When?
Probably the end of this month, maybe beginning of next month, June, you know, first week in June.
For the open call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Any more questions for Dan?
In line with that, the e-newsletter will be coming out at the end of this month. And so anything that you want to advertise, like an open call for workshop leaders, this would be a good chance and one of the last chances to do that before the fest.
What's my deadline?
Basically, drop dead deadline is May 31st, but we might try to send it out a day or two before that. So.
Okay, but I can get you some stuff before May 31st, no problem.
Think of the 29th as the deadline, with a little bit of slop.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of new stuff to promote, too. I think, as you say, if this is one of the last opportunities, we should try to get all out there, especially the calls, especially also the individual prop competition. The prizes have been finalized. I got, I went out to sponsors. I got 3 magnet clubs for the club competition. 7 flying clipper balls for the ball competition, and 5 LED rings for the ring competition, plus a small cash prize. So I also want to put a notice about that, because I want to take a, you know, that's one of the last things I've been getting around to is the individual props. So I'll do that too with you, Mark.
This is going to be the last e-newsletter before the registration deadline of June 10th.
Gotcha.
We want to try to really encourage people to register by whatever incentives we can mention, you know, about the festival at this point.
Yeah, like I say, we have a lot of things I haven't mentioned yet. There's a lot of things that are new that have come up recently. I think we have a lot of good things to promote. And I've been working with Nathan and Ian and Aaron and two. We're going to make a lot of promotion locally to sell the tickets. But Nathan put together a press release, and we have 20 some outlets. Ian, we have a bunch of outlets to get them to, like 25 people there in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, I drew up a Facebook there. We can probably find some more, too, if we keep hunting.
But, the one thing, we're under budget as far as, I think, the festival itself. The one thing we're lagging behind is attendance. So if there are other ways people can think of getting the news out, not just to the membership, but in general, this is the time to push it, because we could use, like, another 30 or so to pre-register. But we have the late rush that Mike, says always comes in the last minute, but this is our time to do everything they can do, which I'm trying. But so if other people have other things they want to do to get it out, I'd be glad to see that.
I'm happy to help with social media stuff as well, which I think helps a lot with getting it out to the...
Yeah, I was talking to Nathan. He said you would do the social media. Like, I'm going
to
do
that. I just kind of need imagery and...
Sure.
Really know what's going on.
Will you send me an email, Aaron, and tell me exactly what you need and when you need to buy, or if you need it right away, just let me know.
As it becomes available, if you just kind of pass it on my way, like if we get pictures of a performer or something like that, Instagram and Facebook and all that.
Sure, but ask me, too, because they're not really sending me anything, so ask me what you need. I'll ask them for it, I'll get it, or...
Okay.
So Dan, I'll be as proactive as I can be for you.
Dan, the sooner you can send me information that you already have, the better, rather than dumping it all on the 29th. So,
well, I sent you the information about all the shows, right? All the confirmed shows that you asked for.
Those three public shows, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to dump all at once. You asked me, you'll get it. Let's be fair.
And also, we will certainly get a lot of people, I don't know how many, but we will get a number of people registering in the 4 or 5 days before the deadline of June 10th. It always is the case that people let things go to the deadline. I mean, why not? They can hold onto their money longer. So
No, Mike has told me that there's always this last-minute bump. I'm just saying, I'd like to rely on that to fill up exactly how many people were under our estimate, but... I don't know if that, it would be nice to have another bump before that, so kind of thing. If we get around to like 300 before those last few days, get like 20, 30 more people before then, I'd feel really good over this last minute bump.
All right, guys, let's kind of wrap this up here. Any final questions for Dan?
Sounds great, Dan. Thank you, and Mike and everyone for all your work.
Yeah, we're getting down to the wire, and things are looking really awesome, guys. Thank you very much for your hard work. All right, moving right along to future festival planning with Mike Sullivan. Looks like there's been a lot of movement here. Why don't you take us through the details, Mike?
Well, thank you, Nathan. We had a bit of a delay waiting for the Embassy Theater to send us a draft contract. They were the only piece of the puzzle for Fort Wayne 2019 that we did not have last time we had a board meeting. Finally got a proposal from them, and I was quite shocked, as you read in my report, that it was wildly out of bounds of what our budget would allow. And I was perplexed because I had spoken to the gentleman there, Jared, who is a very reasonable and good-hearted guy, and he assured me that they would work hard to meet our budget requirements. So it turns out that it was all just a miscommunication. He literally pushed the wrong button and sent me the wrong proposal. The proposal he meant to send me, which I now have in hand, is much more to our liking and will work for our needs. It results in over $20,000 in discounts from what they would charge a regular client. And as you can see from my report, they're discounting the rental rate of the theater by 70%. They are also zeroing out all of our costs for production equipment, lighting, sound, staging, etc. So that brings what was going to be a completely unrealistic theater proposal down well within the range of what we can afford, especially when it's taken in combination with a very reasonable rental rate that we have for the use of the convention center all week long at just $11,500. So with all of that now fairly settled and good contracts ready to sign from all of our other properties, the two hotels, the convention center, and the jogging track, I recommend now that we go ahead and sign those contracts and return them to those venues while we wait for a contract in line with what the proposal was from the embassy, and that will put everything to bed for Fort Wayne 2019. So I think everyone on the board can see the value of negotiating with properties. If I add up all of the discounts that we were able to obtain from the five properties that we're dealing with in Fort Wayne, I was able to negotiate something close to $65,000 in discounts for our jugglers and for the association for that week from what they initially offered us. If you look at what their initial room rate offers were and what the initial rental rates were for the facilities. So it's a long process. It takes a lot of work, but these are good people and they want to bring us to town. And so once they realize that we know what we're doing and we will come if they can meet our budget requirements, they usually come around, and that's where we're at here with Fort Wayne. So I'd be happy to take any questions about that, and then we can talk about El Paso for a few minutes.
That sounds great, I think. But like I said, it's also part of the Buskers Festival, which I've heard about, and it's a fairly big event. I think the more we can kind of combine with performance-type events that bring in performers and give jugglers opportunities, the better. So I think that's a real good plus.
Very good. Yeah, way to go with the negotiation, Mike. That's really excellent. So you say, do you have the contracts physically?
Yes, they've all been uploaded to G Drive. The only one we don't have, which we'll get probably late next week, is from the Embassy Theater itself, but he's assured me that it will be in line with the proposal that I have received from them, which I have uploaded to the G Drive as well. I think all the contracts have your name on them, Nathan. There might be one that has my name on it, and so we can either ask him to change that or I can apply a signature to that one.
I'd like to read the room quick before we
I'm not comfortable voting. I'm not comfortable voting on them at this juncture. Could we put these off until the next board meeting, Mike, and get everything kind of squared
if
up?
If you could read through them in the next week or two, and then I don't think you'll find anything in there that's problematic. I've been through them several versions of them already. Everything looks clean and good to me. It's about the cleanest, shortest contract for any convention center I've ever seen. So I hope we can do this before another month goes by. They had asked us to have it all done by the end of this month, but we had to wait for the embassy. So I would hope we could move on this between now and the next board meeting.
Don't you want to wait to get the embassy quote, the final quote, before you sign these other contracts?
Well, I have a final quote. What I don't have is a contract that corresponds to the quote, but I don't have any concerns that they're going to send me something that's not aligned with the quote that they've sent me.
Well, that's not a contract then. I mean, it seems like you want, especially if you said it's only going to be another week, I would wait till you have all of these in hand. Otherwise, if they back out, we're obliged to go with these other contracts. Isn't that a normal business process? You wait till you've got all your ducks in a row?
Well, it would be nice. I mean, we could do either. I don't have any concerns about the contract from the embassy being out of line with what they've given us in a written quote. I've also got verbal and written assurances from the Convention and Visitors Bureau that they will make it work with the embassy on our behalf. So that's not a concern, but whatever the board's comfortable with.
Yeah, I would say we can review the one.
I'm sorry, Mike, when do you expect the contract from the embassy?
Go ahead.
At end of the week, next week.
That's only another week to delay.
Yeah, I would say we can review the existing contracts, and then when the embassy comes in, out of the straw poll and approve them all in one swoop. That way it'll make things nice and easy. Then I can get those signed all at once. Does that sound agreeable to everybody?
That sounds fine.
All right. Yeah, when that comes in, Mike, go ahead and send me an email just to let me know that it's out there. And also have the other contract revised so my name is on it and not yours. That way they're all the same.
Yep.
And then I'll get those sent out to the board for review. And if we're good, we'll straw poll vote. And we can finalize at the next board meeting if need be, but we can get that going.
Okay. Any other questions on 4
Sounds good, guys.
Okay. El Paso, thanks, as we talked about, is very eager to have us back. There'll be a lot of improvements in the city by the time we return in 2020. And again, through the process of negotiation, we were able to extract close to $40,000 in concessions from them. The first thing that we got them to agree when they first proposed for us to come back in 2020 is they wanted us to guarantee $28,000 in food and beverage because they remember how much we spent for the brunch last year. And I told them there is no way we can guarantee even a single dollar in food and beverage, so we can't sign any contract that requires us to spend a dime on food and beverage. So they took that out of the requirements, so that's gone. So that was a $28,000 load off of our tax. And we also got them to agree in writing 4 years in advance that they will come through with up to $23,800 in grant money from the city out of their own pocket, just like they got for us last year, providing we pick up 900 room nights. Now, we picked up 897 last year with record low attendance, so I don't think that's a concern. The other thing is it's a pro rata offer, meaning the dollars given back to us would be proportional to the number of rooms versus 900 that we pick up. So that's a very safe offer. The hotels that they're proposing, two of the three that we used last year are within a dollar of where we were. The DoubleTree is actually at the same price at $95. I think that's remarkable when we can get a hotel to agree to keep their price the same over the span of 4 years. The Holiday Inn is $3 more than it was for 2016. The Camino Real, which we were at last year, at $99 a night, will be a full-service flag Marriott next time we're there, and they are asking for $119 a night. However, they're also offering us a $10 per room rebate to the IJA. I would probably be able to negotiate with them to take that $10 away from us and give it to the jugglers and show a $109 per night rate, which I think would be better for us and better for our jugglers. It would get more people to stay and to come to the festival. They're also offering a lot of nice perks, including a 1 to 40 comp rate, 2 free suites for the week, and 3 club-level upgrades for our VIPs. The new Courtyard Hotel, which was under construction during the week we were there last year, will be completed at the end of this summer, and that will be open. They've offered us a rate. It's not a great rate, but it's nice if you're a Marriott loyalist. And then they have given us a quote for the week of renting the Center and the Plaza Hotel for $44,000, a little bit more than we, I believe, actually spent in 2016, even though we ran quite a bit over budget. So I would like to work on negotiating that down a little bit, but I still think it's within range of where we're comfortable.
With that, Mike, just keep in mind that they added a bunch of stuff that was like to be determined pricing on their last contract in El Paso, and so that $44,000 could potentially jump up quick without us noticing.
Yes, that's right. But remember, they're offering us a $23,800 grant just for holding our festival. That's what makes that price very reasonable. We all
yeah,
learned.
If there's some way to guarantee we can get that before, like, November, that would also be cool.
Well, they're not going to pay the grant until after we hold the festival because they want
to fine.
Bring the people to city.
For sure. And
okay.
If we don't?
Well, as I say, it's a pro rata offer. If we
oh, cool. Sorry, that's what that pertained to.
Right.
I gotcha.
And they're not going to fuss and fiddle about 20 rooms either way. You know, our last deal with them was for 900 rooms, and we hit 897, and they gave us the full amount. So
yeah.
With all of that in mind and knowing what a great time we had in El Paso and how wonderful the facilities were last year, I would like to recommend that we go ahead and move to contracting with El Paso for 2020.
Mike, is that 23,800, is that a really guaranteed grant, you know, prorated, but is that they can't withdraw that?
Well, I have a cover letter from them in writing, which you can read in the Google Drive document that is up there, that says just exactly that. It's, let me bring it up on my screen here and I can read it to you. But it says, let's see, for El Paso 2020. Here it is. The cover letter itself says, Visit El Paso is committed to making the 2020 IJA Annual Festival the most successful yet and will offer up to $23,800 sponsorship to the association with a minimum of 900 total room nights picked up. This sponsorship will be applied pro rata as either a payment directly to the association, as a payment to the facility in the form of a site fee, or as a reduction in the charges by the facility at the facility manager's discretion. So it's in writing, and it's on the CVV letterhead. I think it's as good as we can get. Of course, we'll have it written into the contract as well.
Okay, well, I mean, as usual, it's written very carefully. It says up to $23,800, which means they could give us $100 and satisfy that letter. So, you know,
yeah.
I guess if you take their word for it, then, you know, that's all we can do, but they can easily back out of that.
I think the plain meaning of their words is that if we clear 900 room nights, they're going to give us $23,800. If we want to have a lawyer
look
at it, that's fine, but I think that's the very plain meaning of their offer, and that is their intention.
Well,
yeah, the plain meaning says up to. He's right. It'll only do up to, like, they could do nothing. They could do a $2.
Yeah, take out the words up to, and then it's okay.
Yep. If they said no more than?
Right. Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I deal with legalese all day, and I would change it as well. You know, no more than is fine. I'd just make it straight that it 900 equals 23,000, and then talk about the prorated.
That means the same as up to.
You're right. Mike, I've got a question. I thought El Paso was great facilities, and it sounds like it'll even be better environment with the additional eating establishments and such a couple years down the road. My concern was the cost of flights to get there, that for most people they had to fly to get there, and it was rather expensive, probably the most I've ever paid for an airfare domestically. And I know the Jugheads didn't come because of that. I don't know any way around that. I'm sure they can't negotiate, the city can't negotiate airfares or anything, but I just wanted to, that's the reason I didn't bring my family. And I heard other people didn't bring their families for the same reason.
Why I didn't go.
I'm juggling. Yeah. That's my only concern.
With that, actually, there's fringe festivals throughout the U.S. who work with different airlines to get discounts for those people going. You just have to call and book your airfare. So that might be something the city would maybe be willing to work on, or maybe the convention center itself has an inn there.
Okay. That's something I'd like to see.
Just to add to that, too, like I know the original reason why we went to El Paso was the idea that we'd hopefully be able to get a lot more of our Mexican people who have gotten a lot more interest in the IJ through the IRCs. And then what happened that year was the peso rate to the dollar went from 11 pesos per dollar to 20 pesos per dollar, which basically meant none of them could afford to come to our festival, period. And so I don't know that that contingent, which would love to come to the IJ, plus the visa issues that we faced as well, are actually going to be able to cross the border to come as much as they might want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that to change.
No, me either.
Not in the current
the remote location of El Paso is the hard thing to overcome here. And I don't know how you can get more people to attend than you did last time. And some people won't come back because it's the same location. So it's going to be tough to get a bigger festival. I think it's going to be a minimal size again if we go there.
And that was my question kind of about Winston-Salem. I don't know the stats on this, and I would guess that Mike and Martin know this probably best of anyone. I know we did it 3 years there, and if we saw increases each year or decreases or...
It went down each year, I think.
Right.
But then the whole festival was going down otherwise.
Right.
Do we have any other strong options for 2020 at this point, Mike?
Nope. You know, it's a little bit further out than the other cities I've been focusing on, but I was expecting a good offer from El Paso, and as we know, it's a lot easier to repeat a city from our standpoint than it is to reinvent the wheel every year. And our options are not great. Very, very, very difficult to find a city that wants to work with us at our prices, give us all those facilities, that has an airport. I mean, I've been through this on this call many, many times. We don't have a whole lot of cities that meet our requirements. And so when we find one and it works out and they like us and they want us back, it's much easier for them and it's much easier for us if we return.
And as much as
and one
totally
idea might
that,
be to, I mean, it's not until 2020, and the idea is there's a lot of disadvantages to returning to the place as far as if you offer the same thing. You know, a lot of people won't return to El Paso if you have the same kind of festival. So I think if you look at the Flow Festivals and even SkillCon and some of these other events, they're broadening their appeal by trying to offer more attractions than just the one activity. So 2020 is still 2 years away. There could be some planning gone into how to attract more people and a different audience than the same people who might not come because they've already been there before. Because the deal itself seems very, very good, but the limitations are the appeal of the event. We're saying it won't draw enough people. That seems to be a bigger problem than the suitability of the location, in my mind.
Well, the location is a major part of the draw.
Yeah.
Hard to get
I mean, I would hope that whatever you're offering is the biggest part of the draw. I mean, an easy location that's cheap, everything that satisfies everything you need would be the best, but I think you're limited to what you can get given what the size of the event and what you can afford. But I'll just leave it at that. I mean,
want to drive, and they don't want to fly. So, if we have something in the center of the high-density population, then we're more likely to get more jugglers. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a festival in a place like El Paso again, but it's just hard to get people to go there. We get the hardcore people like us.
But the problem with that scenario is the option is, do we have a good place in the middle of the country everybody can drive to that we can afford? I'm sure Mike would have chosen that because it would be easier for us to put a festival on in that scenario. But if that's not available, then that scenario is not something you can consider. I mean, that would be ideal, but if it's not possible, you know, how much can you consider it?
just a quick question. This is a different venue, but I know, Mike, back in the day we talked about a potential repeat to Rochester, Minnesota. Have you been in touch with them since I think we had decided back then, I don't know what, but not to do a repeat city or something, but you know, there was interest in having us back then.
Yep, they would desperately like us back, but I have not pursued it for a number of reasons. First of all, it is very expensive to fly to Rochester, and we found that out. They have a small airport with very few flights on just two airlines. Secondly, although it's a climate-controlled walk, it is quite a walk from all the hotels down to the center and theater. Thirdly, although they've added a new section to their convention center, with that, they've raised their hotel rates. And none of the talks that I had with them led me to believe that we could get the hotel rates back down to the 99, the 109 rate where I really want to keep them to keep our festival affordable. So, yes, I've talked to Rochester, but I've not pursued it for those factors.
Gotcha. I did like that facility.
with the airport situation in Minnesota, you can fly into MSP, and there is a shuttle that runs like 12 times a day to Rochester that's under $30. And we could likely get the city to set something up with them, too.
Yep. We told everybody about that the year we had the festival there, and it still didn't help. Shuttle.
Yeah, I would have.
I think I could do that.
Mike, are there any chances for Peoria, or is that completely dead?
The theater in Peoria was just not going to work with us. And to tell you the truth, if comparing downtown Fort Wayne to downtown Peoria, I can tell you there's a lot more to like in Fort Wayne. Downtown Peoria is struggling, and there's just not a lot going on down there. I would not have a fun week down there, and I think our jugglers would not find it that welcoming and that convenient. And it is also not that cheap to fly to. They don't have Southwest Airlines like El Paso does. And the two hotels are both a Marriott property, fairly high priced. So they had a shot, but I don't think it's nearly as strong an offer as Fort Wayne.
Right, but I mean we're talking about 2020. I mean.
Yeah, well, none of those things are going to change by 2020. I don't think.
Okay, well, I'm just saying you were comparing it to Fort Wayne, but we were, comparing more to El Paso.
I would have considered either city for 2020, but, you know, El Paso is proposing for us for 2020 with this offer that we have, and I really don't know. I mean, I'm not going to do this job forever. I've been doing it for 10 years. It takes a hell of a lot of time and work to find these cities. And to work with them and to go there and to take days out of my life, try and find out if they're going to work or not. And then it takes about a year for me to find a place to hold a festival every year. So it's not like we have lots of options. We are a very, very small event that brings in very, very little money and takes a whole week with an immense amount of space requirements. So the fact that anybody returns our phone calls is amazing. And, you know, when we've got a good offer from a relatively large city that's willing to give us nearly $25,000 to bring our festival to town, I don't know how much else we can really ask for.
Okay. So, do you want us to vote to proceed with this, or are you able to get clarification on that grant thing so we can look at this?
I'm not concerned about that grant. If you decide tonight to move ahead with El Paso, we will have them clarify that. I know what their intentions are. I've talked to these people. We've worked with them before. They're not going to screw us. They're not going to give us $100. They put it in writing for $23,800. That's what they want to give us. The last thing they want is for the International Jugglers Association to go around and tell every other small group that El Paso screwed us out of a grant.
I personally would like a change. If they really do want to give it to us, they won't be a problem. It'll just be one of those, legally, we would like it worded differently.
It won't be a problem. If you want the wording changed, I'm sure they'll agree to that. I know what their intention is, and it's to give us the money.
Intentions don't hold up in court, unfortunately.
Once again, if you'd like me to ask them to change the wording, I'd be happy to do it, but I would like to ask the board to agree to move ahead with El Paso for 2020.
Fair enough, Mike. Board members, what do you think? Do you want to have a motion to vote on this?
This is Scott. I motion to vote on it.
Okay. Do we want to wait till the motion section? That may make more sense.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that as a first motion before we get into the other meat. But yeah, for the sake of reports, let's try that. But okay, right now, Mike, it looks like we have the intent to make a motion to move forward with that. So when we get to that part of the agenda, we'll proceed accordingly. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Moving on to, looks like, e-juggle report. Scott was kind enough to submit a report. Basic breakdown there. Any discussion? Moving on to membership. Spreadsheet is there as usual. Any discussion? Moving on to marketing. Aaron Stevens has attached a report. I kind of want to keep this meeting moving along, but you're welcome to touch on this a little bit if you'd like to, Aaron.
Nope. Not really. You can check it out.
Nope.
There's a cool graph there that shows how many
cool graph, bro.
Websites we're getting. I like the graph. And there's a further breakdown within the Facebook tracking pixel where I can see exactly which URL is getting how many clicks, so we can see how many clicks the eJuggle article is getting, how many clicks juggle.org/festival is getting /register/ all kinds of things. So it's just good insight for kind of seeing what kind of stuff we're doing that's leading to people clicking through to our sites.
Have you noticed any surprising trends?
Probably. Well, not necessarily. I am looking for trends as of late, but I mean, just our eJuggle articles are really pretty high up there. It's very notable to see that articles where the people who write them are sharing them on social media, on their own pages, on juggle.org, etc., get far more clicks than ones that aren't being shared by the people that write them. I've noticed that.
Okay.
DJ shares it too, and that makes a big boost in click-throughs as well, but when people share it themselves, that definitely makes a big difference.
That makes sense.
Social media has been feeling a little overwhelming just because there's so much going on right now. It's been very, very time-consuming as of late for me, which between World Judging Day, the festival, IRCs, and then just eJuggle content pretty much daily. It's a lot of work, so just so y'all know.
All right. Well, we definitely appreciate all you do, Aaron. Any questions, comments on marketing? All right. With that, we move right along to the IRC report, also with Aaron Stevens.
I wrote a long one. You all don't have to read it all, but I was kind of just outlining all the things going on, especially poignant to this meeting that I wrote about the two motions that we have. For IRC Far East in Afghanistan and IRC Oceania in Australia for August and September. I put at the bottom for both of these, with the $300 contribution from the IJ, which is outlined in the motion, we will have the necessary funds available from other IRC donations that I've already obtained and through the hosting event contribution as well. And we just had two IRCs. I don't think I've been to a meeting since we had those in Guatemala and in Israel. And Guatemala was definitely the strongest IRC Central America yet, with 8 attendees from 4 different countries. It was a really strong event that hosted it. A lot of great networking happened. I made lots of connections for future IRCs as well. Nicaragua wants to host it pretty much for Central America, like, there's people that want to host it through 2020, which is kind of cool. Israel Tomwall was the representative there, and there were less participation this year, only 4 entries, which was a surprise to both me and Scott Seltzer, because when he first announced it and we all first announced it, he had like 6 to 8 people say, okay, I'm going to enter, and then like everyone backed out, and he ended up having to plead with people to enter at the end. So we're considering skipping next year and possibly going to every 2 years type thing for the Far East, but just kind of discussing that. And we have 2 IRC prelims in the next week, May 25th and May 30th are the deadlines for Ecuador and Mexico. And that's it.
Great. All right, questions, comments for Aaron? Moving right along to World Juggling Day report, also with Aaron Stevens.
Me. I wrote Nathan Wakefield at like 12 a.m. this morning saying, I just finished writing 4 reports. I'm done. Yeah, World Juggling Day is going well. We've got the t-shirts on sale now. They went on sale on Friday last week, and we've sold, I believe, around 20 shirts so far, which is good. And a lot of international sales have been happening, which was a bit of a surprise. Martin and I had to do some figuring out how to make the international shipping of our store that we're using, Shopify, match that from the print company, the t-shirt print company, because we ended up making like an $8 profit on one of the guys' shipping fees. And so today I had a conference call with Shopify to figure out how to make it more accurate so that people aren't being overcharged, and hopefully more international shipments will happen, or orders will happen. And I also, right now, the only way to order the t-shirts is through PayPal, and I, in the meeting today with Shopify, they also told me that they'd recommend we set up credit card payment option too, so I've written a message to Nathan and Dennis to see if we can set that up, because then it gives people more of an option. Pay for those.
PayPal accepts credit cards. So, Aaron, PayPal accepts credit cards. You can use credit card with PayPal.
I never knew that. You sure?
You also technically don't have to have an account.
You don't have to have an account. It's not a matter of technicality. You simply don't have to have an account, and you can use a credit card without creating an account.
Yeah, they changed it a year or two ago, maybe? Maybe more.
Okay.
No, we've been doing it for forever with the IJA charging using PayPal and credit cards.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I was not clear on that, so that's good to know. Cool. And then we have.
So are we all set there, Aaron, or do you need us to take any action with that?
I'll talk a bit more in detail with Martin about it. It seems the only other thing that would come out of that is that we would not have to pay a 2% fee to Shopify, but I believe that's probably they get paid something else from having the credit card transactions happen on their site, which is why I'm guessing.
Okay.
Telling you
let us.
I'll check in with Martin.
Yeah, let us know. Sounds good.
Okay. And then, yeah, registration's open online. There's about 12 registered events so far. We're going to put that in the upcoming newsletter as well as the t-shirt. And, yeah, and the event, I think I made a suggestion that if board members can share info about World Juggling Day and just start building the hype about it, that always helps, because everyone can kind of put a shout-out to something, the t-shirts, the event page, the registration, something, to kind of start building up the energy. That would be great.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron Stevens. Any questions? Awesome. Thank you very much. Moving along to YJA, I spoke with Galen, and he's going to start submitting us reports on how the YJA is doing. So he was kind enough to write this little report here. Any discussion? All right, guys, move along to motions for consideration. The first motion on the agenda is the motion to extend the board nomination deadline until May 29th, 2017. That's 2 weeks past the original deadline. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Scott. I'll make it.
Second?
Shavela, I'll second.
Thank you, Shavela. Move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? To abstain. Motion passes. Moving along to motion B, the motion to approve the Awesomeness Fund selections from the 2017 Awesomeness Fund Committee. Selections are there. Would someone like to make a motion?
Shavela will.
I believe I heard Shavela. Do we have a second?
Scott, second.
Nice, Scott. Any discussion?
How much is, I can see how much they've got budgeted, but how much is their budget? How much is their available?
3,100.
That's how much they've been given?
Yes, that's how much UNA has committed.
Okay.
All right, move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Motion C, motion to approve IRC Oceana to be held in September at the Melbourne Juggling Festival, including a $300 contribution from the IJA. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Shavela. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Shavela. Do we have a second?
This is Scott. I'll make the second.
Wow. Scott and Shavela are on a tear tonight. All right.
Yeah.
Moving to discussion.
I'd like to go and represent to Melbourne. Just kidding.
Wow. That'd
be
pretty cool.
Yeah, gosh. It's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion is passes unanimously. Motion D, motion to approve the first IRC Far East to be held in August in coordination with a mini mobile circus for children in Kabul, Afghanistan, with a $300 contribution from the IRC.
I did. From the IJ. This is Shavela. I will make the motion.
Do we have a second?
This is Louie. I'll second.
Breaker. All right. Thank you, Louie. Moving to discussion.
I just figured I'd discuss this one a little bit. It's a little bit of an interesting one because it's kind of a different situation than a lot of the other IRCs where it's going to a place where there's a, you know, what's it called, kind of secured juggling scene. And there's a big juggling scene there, but one thing the director reached out to me recently about is their jugglers, you know, they don't really have teachers. They have a teacher who teaches them numbers, so you have these really amazing little girls doing five clubs and passing nine clubs and seven balls and stuff, and boys as well. But they've been training for their national championships every year, which is basically resistances or endurances, like five ball endurance and things like that. And so they've never had embraced this concept of routine creation or creativity. And so it's a very new thing for them, and he's kind of reaching out to me to send him videos of examples to give them inspiration and stuff. But I think it's a great and amazing opportunity for the IJ to kind of, again, render assistance to fellow jugglers by giving them a challenge and helping them branch out and giving them an opportunity to create things that they might be able to use in other capacities in their futures as well. And so, yeah, should be interesting.
And it's kind of cool, too, because we kind of work with this group already with, you know, by taking donations for them. So we already have kind of a working relationship with them. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I've worked with the guy directly, David, since I got on the board, you know, promoting their fundraisers and getting props for them, props to you, and then we're their fiscal sponsor, and yeah, there's been a long relationship there. So as soon as you hear about the IRC, she's expressed interest. And they've wanted to bring me out to work with the girls for like 10 years, and so that would be a different benefit that could happen as well.
Hmm. Are you likely to go?
Okay. Any questions?
What's that? Somebody just listening?
Are you likely to go?
Yeah.
Erin?
Yep.
Yep?
Yep.
Okay.
I know. It's a little interesting. Yeah, and so that's another just element is, you know, it is a place that's considered a dangerous place to go, as of many of the places I've been to the IRCs. But it is, I've talked a lot to the organizers about what I would need to do to make sure that I'm secure and following all any rules as far as the dress codes go and such. And they were like, yep, if you follow our rules, we'll follow your rules for the competition. All right. There you
wow.
Go.
Wow. That's intense.
It is intense, yeah. So it's a...
Now I feel weird voting on this.
Well,
gosh, I don't want to
know that I'm doing it willingly.
Put you in harm's way.
And excitingly.
Yeah.
And it's something I've wanted to do for 10 years. So, not, if anything happens to me, I do not blame the IJ. Know that I didn't do it.
And you're not voting for there.
That's true.
You're just voting.
I realize that it's just the... It's a catalyst effect, but I understand. All right, any final questions, comments for us? All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Moving on to motion F. Motion to proceed with Lockton Affinity as the IJ's new liability insurance provider. I've attached both the summary and the proposal. The proposal has the bulk of the information on it. Would someone like to make this motion?
Shavela, I'll make the motion.
Shavela, thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Louie, I'll second.
Thank you, Louie. Moving on to discussion. So any questions here? Does everybody understand what this whole situation is about? We need someone to replace Hartford for our annual festival insurance. And I went through a broker, and this is the one they were able to get to us. Their original quote was a little higher. I was able to get them to get a lower rate, but still slightly higher than Hartford was, but not by a lot. So this is kind of the boat we're in right now. Questions, comments?
The two links from the summary and the proposal just take me to the general drive directory with a whole bunch of files, so I'm not sure where those files actually are.
That's what I'm getting to.
The top row, third from the left.
Thanks, Scott. I might have routed that incorrectly. I apologize, but yeah, there are the two PDFs in there. The fourth and the fifth. So you're welcome to open those and look at those.
They look fairly standard from my point of view.
Yeah, it's just your basic general liability insurance. They did express some possible concern in the long term in regards to, like, our fire nights and stuff, but they said at least for this festival it wouldn't be a problem at just a general liability rate. So I'm hoping we can get on their good side and have a long-term relationship without any issues, but they at least assured us that there would be no issue with this festival.
Do you feel this meets our contract requirements from the venue?
It should. I listed in our application all of our additional insurers, like the track and the convention center and whatnot. So Yeah, this should be tailored to our needs. I have a lot of paperwork to fill out, but yeah.
Okay, thanks. Perfect.
Yep. Any further discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. I'll go about getting that paid. Thank you very much. I am excited to and relieved to be insured again.
Good work.
And I just realized, thank you. And I just realized that I forgot to put the first motion that I meant to put. So moving on, I would like to make a new motion, a motion to proceed with contract negotiations and contract, proceed with contracting for El Paso for 2020. Sound good, Mike and Martin?
Yes.
All right, would someone like to make this motion? Wait, I made the motion. Go ahead.
Can you make a motion simply a removal of the words up to before the number 23,800 in the letter?
Oh, okay. Motion to proceed with contracting for El Paso 2020 with removal of the words up to from the grant contract. All right. Would someone like to second my motion?
This is Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Moving to discussion. Any further thoughts, comments? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? I'll give Louis, poor Louis, a minute to catch up. All right, so the motion was me and the second was Scott, Louis. Thanks.
Great, great, thanks.
Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions?
Can we have motion a moment passes? Of discussion real quick?
Oh, yeah. Any discussion?
Overall, like, what's everybody's feel overall? Will it work? I like that Mike's going for it. I think it'll work again. I know there's some hesitation because of the flights and things, but like you said, it's nice to have somewhere set in stone and somewhere we work with again. I would love to go to a model maybe of the future of we have five locations that we continually rotate around, or we have three locations that we continually rotate around, possibly based somewhat on Mike's preliminary work set up so far.
Yeah,
so
we had talked about that previously. I think that was the model for Winston-Salem, but we saw the diminishing returns. That's certainly something we can talk about. But I think Dan, maybe it was Dan that said it earlier. You know, I see this from the people that have been nominated for the board, as well as just the direction. You know, that juggling is expanding. Who we should market to and who our members are with the flow community and such. And I think if we do a good enough job to market the added benefits of El Paso this year compared to the last one, we maybe try to work with the city or the airlines to get a some reduction in that so that's not as big of a deal. And we talk about the eating establishments. Maybe we have a day. You know, I know I did not make it over to Mexico then, and I saw pictures later on, and it looked like it was a really good time, and I wished I had done that. So, maybe have some event where we pass clubs between two countries.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
there's also places where you can just walk across the border on a random street where there's stuff. But
it is or it is not.
There is, from what I was told by the locals. But
yeah, so yeah. It will take work. It's not going to be a 400 person festival probably, but I think if it's financially viable, I think it is important to have different parts of the country represented. You know, we tend to be a Midwest centric sometimes, which helps me because I'm Midwest. But I think with us doing Midwest this year and Midwest for Fort Wayne and out east next year, that on the western part is appropriate for 2020. But we do need to do all we can to bring more people there. But I think there's some things in our benefit.
I'd also say that the facility was amazing. I do think it was one of the kind of, it was just such a mellow festival because everything went so well from an organizer's perspective, because I was one of the organizers for the shows and everything. The show facilities were phenomenal. The people that we worked with were phenomenal. They did amazing advertising for us. I think one thing, you know, I think we learned a lot, but one of those things that comes to mind is, you know, it's easier for us to repeat a venue, but part of that is for the same team to repeat a venue. And so, you know, it was Jim Maxwell took it on this last year. And, you know, I know a lot of people from Austin. It's a good 9-hour drive from Austin even to get to El Paso or more. They came to support Jim and to be part of his team. And so, you know, getting him on board, even if not as a director, in some capacity, where he's really talking it up in Texas and to the locals and things like that and helping with promotion in the Texas scene, I think is important. And also if he can pass on any knowledge that he learned from his experience in working with that facility to whoever the director will be, I think that would be important as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, of all the festivals I've been to, it and Lexington seem to be the ease of location of everything together, and
just wonderful.
El Paso just went so smooth, especially compared to Quebec City the year before. It was just such smooth sailing.
Great. Yeah. That's wonderful to hear. Wonderful.
Yeah, and it was really nice energy at the festival.
Who said something else?
This is Martin. The festival worked, you know, went pretty well. The only real disappointment, you might say, it wasn't a surprise to me, was the attendance. The membership was surveyed many years ago about whether we wanted to go back every year to one of three, you know, repeating locales, or three or four, or three plus mm-hmm. a wild card every fourth year or something.
Mm-hmm.
The membership overwhelmingly said no. They don't want to do that.
Okay.
And I think the evidence in Winston-Salem confirmed that. So I don't think it's a good idea to plan for that. I'm not saying we can't go back to places like this, but it's something we unless we get some really fantastic locales that really draw people in, I don't know that we can continuously repeat a place.
Mm-hmm. Right. And people weren't very excited about El Paso in the first place, and it was kind of made fun of in various circles. But I was a part of really, it's going to be in El Paso. Like, that was the response. But then everyone who did go... said it was absolutely incredible, and we're blown away by how wonderful it was and how friendly the people were and how amazing the facilities were. So if we can get those people to share their experience too, and I think that would also be a plus that we'd have as far as marketing goes, is we have video now of the theater. We have video of the convention space. We can use that in publicity, being like, look at this amazing space.
Even the lobby space for the games.
So beautiful, and for the X Games and stuff. I think, you know, using video to show others who didn't go, hey, look, El Paso's not that bad, and have people even, like, share, like, I love that I got to eat Mexican food every day, you know, whatever their experience was of, like, being in this place, then that might help, too.
Great.
And just to, you know, be on the same side, we did offer $20,000 in winning gold medal prize money, and that didn't bring many people. Didn't bring many competitors, didn't bring many attendees. So, you know, clearly there's some things you just can't override.
Right.
All right. Lots of good thoughts here, guys. Do you want to proceed with voting? Any final discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank for letting me do a small discussion there. I just wanted a little feeling of it.
No, that was a good call.
That was helpful.
For sure. All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. You may proceed accordingly, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you all. I'll get on it.
Thank you.
Have we ever known where the next four festivals are at one time?
No.
I mean, think about it. We, you know, Cedar Rapids, Massachusetts, Fort Wayne, and El Paso. That's
Could be big.
I remember my first few festivals. You would come to the festival, and on the last day, you would find out when next year's festival was.
Yeah, almost always.
And that's no way to run. Yeah.
Now we have directors ahead of time, too.
2 years ahead of time.
If we have the directors more than a year ahead of time, then they can, like, make promotional material to hand out at the festival like we did for Quebec, and that was great, like stickers and postcards and talk it up and, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that the NBC for 2019 is already doing big Facebook promotions, just so y'all know, so, yeah. It's good to get ahead.
All right, guys. Moving on to Varia, just a couple quick things I want to touch on here. So I think most of you are aware of this, but for those of you... All right, so for those of you that are not aware, after many years of requests, Juggle Magazine is now officially fully digitized and available for public consumption.
Woohoo!
They can be purchased, the entire library can be purchased on library.com. The entire issue history is $60 or $45 if you're an IJA member. So that's really exciting. I'm working right now with library.com to get them up on our vendor discount program. That way we can put the membership code there and just direct members to that page to get that savings. But I've heard we've already made a few sales. I talked to Dennis. We have our membership royalties account created, so we can look at the metrics on that, and we'll give it a little while, and if we're happy with it, we can potentially look at offering Jugglers World on there as well. So this is really exciting. I've heard that they do a really good job with scanning and everything, so I think it's looking forward to checking it out myself here pretty soon.
I would say, you know, let's put that, make sure that gets in the newsletter as soon as that vendor discount is available, or even if it's not, if it's not available on library.com or whatever, that we can, if we can even put the code in the newsletter that still allows them to use it. I don't know how all that works, but
I would say definitely put it in the newsletter. I might avoid putting the membership code, because a lot of non-members can access
that's true.
With that being said, I definitely think there should be a piece of the newsletter about this, and I'm pretty confident we can get this up on the vendor discount page soon. But also, yes, Martin and Aaron, I haven't forgotten about you. I'll send out that update on the vendor discount thing as soon as I get information from these guys. I'll send you a giant email, but I was able to get a hold of most of those people, so we're in good shape.
Well,
yeah,
we have some updates that we're going to need for that too, probably, like the graphics that they want to use on our website. But we can talk to you about that later.
Yep, I did get some new graphics for some of the people. So, yeah, and I'm working on getting graphics for library.com.
Graphics and the link.
I did that as well. So.
Great.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll send you a link.
One thing really quick that could be part of the marketing report, but I'll do it now. One thing I've been talking to Nathan about too is that I now imported an email list of just we have one of just our members, our current members, and then one of all members of all time. And in Facebook ads, I can target ads specifically to our members or all members of all time. For something like this, hey, members, you can now get a discount on purchasing this online all eJuggle magazines ever. We can do an ad and target it specifically to our members, which is kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah! I like it.
Oh,
market segmentation.
E-newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it in the e-newsletter, but I'll need details about, you know, what it looks like. I can get that stuff offline here from you, Nathan, or if somebody get hold of the thing. You said there were some sales.
Okay.
Have there been some member sales?
Not to my knowledge. I just remember when in Alan's email, he said that pretty much as soon as it went live, there was like one or two sales. So I'm guessing those are probably just people that peruse that website anyways. Yeah, but so yeah, well, probably Alan here, right? But no, as soon as I get that information, I will send that over to you. We can get that updated, put that in the newsletter, blast that out on some social media, and this will be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along, Varia, next Varia item. Kind of on that same note, IJ Archives. I don't know if you guys got a chance to read the fairly lengthy email that Alan Howard wrote, but he wrote a very in-depth kind of situational analysis of the IJ Archives in Vegas. Did anybody have a chance to read that?
This is Scott. I did.
So basically, he's kind of at a loss as to what to do with some of it, and there's a chance we might lose the space. So it's just a matter of if we want to find a new location to house these, if we want to kind of, auction them off, if we want to digitize as much as possible, and just kind of where to go from there. So we don't need to make any decisions now, but just be aware of that, and if you have any discussion, we can touch upon that briefly tonight. So, what was your initial thoughts on it, Scott?
I don't know. I mean, obviously I sort of have a vested interest that may be counter to it, in that I helped my brother run the Juggling Museum. David already has a lot of IJA archives. I mean, we have all the photography and stuff from the first two IJA photographers, Lane Blumenthal and Roger Dollarhide, as well as we have Richard Bachman and Kit Summers collections, and we just have so much stuff that's of rich history to the IJA. David is running out of room, but he still has enough room that he could take stuff and keep it. It would still belong to the IJA, but he could sort of manage it probably, especially props, but even photos and other stuff. So that's an option. It's sort of weird with Alan now living in Florida and that stuff being in Vegas, especially with that guy wanting to reduce his footprint. I would not be for auctioning it off. I don't know. I mean, we'd have to look at it. That's sort of the problem too, is I don't think anyone really knows what's there. On the old IJA site, there was a listing of a little bit of stuff, but I know there's a lot more than what's listed on that website. It has to be.
There were like several attempts back when I first joined the board. I think they had just completed an attempt of people going in and documenting what's in the archives, but they never got that far. And from what I've heard, it was a huge warehouse and a huge undertaking to try to archive everything in there.
Okay, first of all, I was there, and it's not a huge warehouse. It's one room. As Alan describes it, it all fits in a 10 by 10 square, maybe as much as 7 feet high or something like that. A lot of props, maybe some costumes, I don't know, and some, a few boxes of IJ magazines and newsletters, which, we're in the process of digitizing. If once we digitize those things, I'm not sure we really need to store much of that, especially in the way of duplicates. The props are probably the most interesting thing. I mean, there were some clubs we made a video of, and that stuff is online on the old website.
Right.
And some pictures are there too. We scanned some of those in. We probably got 5 or 10% of the stuff, covered in a weekend, probably 5%. I don't really know. I really wanted to just make a list of all of what we had, and we somehow tried to go into the details and processing individual things rather than making the list, which was a mistake, I think.
Yeah.
But my main point is that the IJ is never going to own a museum or a place where it can display any of this stuff. You know, we could bring some of it to a festival down then at great expense or effort, but, you know, we don't even have somebody there where it is now, with, now that Alan is in Florida. So I think that we should, in fact, move it somewhere that where it has a chance of being seen. If that's into the Juggling Museum, that's great. If Scott and David are interested in that, I mean, you, Scott, you said the museum could or David could hold on to it, but not but leave the ownership in
well,
the NGA, I think.
Right now, I mean, yeah, I mean, we could hold it and display it. I mean, you know, we have probably one juggler a week at least come by. Now, this is not a, you know, this is not a open to the public 9-to-5 museum. It's 2.5 rooms in David's house, but it is on permanent display, and there is someone every week coming and looking at the stuff. We've had people from Europe, from Russia, from all across the country. You know, so if it's a matter of, hey, we want the stuff to actually be seen and appreciated, that's certainly an option. I do agree about the magazines and stuff that if we're going to get that stuff digitized, but props-wise, certainly that, you know, David's is the ideal stuff. But even the photographs, David has 13,000 photographs of juggling.
Photographs are not the thing that can go online very easily.
Yep.
Photographs, yep. And magazines. So it's mostly props, maybe costumes. I don't know what exactly the IJ has that's physical in that nature. That, I mean, you could take a picture of the props or take a picture of a costume, but the props you can actually juggle, I suppose, if you're careful. So I would like to see those go to the museum, whether it's with IJ still owning them or selling them at some reasonable price to the museum or what. But
we certainly do have some stuff on long term or permanent loan. And David, you know, David's certainly been known to buy stuff. You know, I know some of the stuff. I think there are 10 unjuggled brand new Harry Lynn clubs, for instance.
Wow.
Now we have four of those already. Adding another 10 doesn't do anything good as far as the museum. You know, if you have four versus you have 14, but that's certainly something we could store. And if it would still be, you know, we could preserve them is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what I would like to see happen. And for those of you who read the Alan's report, long report about this, the IJ could lose its space for storing this within a month, as much as within as little as 30 days, depending on whether this building gets sold or whatever. Although I think Alan suggested possibly as late as August, but it's something that we need to at least be thinking about actively. And in particular, Alan suggested there was like a truck going east that could actually take the stuff to Cedar Rapids this year at relatively low cost or something, but that would require somebody loading it up. Anyway, so it's...
Well, I'll say that's something we can just put off. David is going to have a, not a truck, but a van, a large van, bringing all of his stuff there. Now, I can't tell you how much extra space there would be coming back, but there will be a fairly large Ohio contingent driving there and driving back. But
by van, you mean like a Econoline van, that sort of van?
Yeah. I can't think of what the, we're renting a van. I can't think of the word of what to call it. It's not a moving van, but it's.
Okay. So it's not van lines with a semi, but a smallish truck.
Right.
I mean, this might be an opportunity to get that stuff moved to the museum if everybody is agreeable to that. So I think it's something we should be discussing actively here, not necessarily tonight, making decisions, but at least before the festival.
Board members, would you be okay with maybe Scott asking David if that's feasible or if he's okay with that?
Totally.
Yep.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good option.
Part of it is I just wish that I wish we did have a full inventory. I will say this though, if it's okay, I'll forward the email that Alan sent so that David has a full accounting for what's really. I think that's he deserves that to be able to see what you know what Alan how he describes it and such.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Of course.
Okay.
I talked to David back in like 2013, I believe, and he had expressed interest in taking on that role of housing the IJA archives, and we had a whole conversation with Alan as such, but I'm sure his museum is more full now than it was then.
I'll tell you, it's amazing. It is truly amazing what he has, and you'll see it in Cedar Rapids. It's about
awesome. I can't wait.
Twice what was in Bowling Green.
Amazing.
Can't wait.
He's also requested that I start getting things from Latin America and other places where I'm traveling, so we have more international content.
Yeah, we want more South American and more Asian representation for sure.
Nice.
Cool, guys. All right, well, yeah, let us know what David says, and we'll keep abreast of the situation and make a decision when that time comes. Any more last-minute thoughts on that? Cool, guys. Next item on the agenda, go ahead and set the June meeting. If we go 2 weeks from today, that'll put us at the 5th for a vision planning meeting. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Do the 5th. And then for the next business meeting...
That's the last item.
Yes. Do not hang up after that.
Yeah.
So don't... sneaking out on us. All right, for the next board meeting, business meeting, 19th work for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
All right, let's do the 19th. All right, so with that, we move to the next item, which is we're going to go into executive session. Would someone like to make a motion to go into executive session?
This is Ian. I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
I heard Ian. We'll go with Ian. Do we have a second?
Shavela.
Thank you, Shavela. Moving to discussion. This is just for the IJA board, but I would like to also invite Aaron Stevens and Martin Frost to be a part of this session as well.
Okay. Are we
anyone else? No, the recording is going to be shut off once we vote on this.
And will we then do adjournment after that?
Yes, so then we'll have to come out of executive session and then make a motion to adjourn the meeting. So
I see. And should I be taking notes during executive session, or should that be a separate thing?
Yes, take notes, but not on this agenda. Take it in a closed forum document.
Yeah, I think last time we just put it on an email.
Yeah, that would work perfectly.
Okay, I'll take them like in Evernote, and I'll copy them over to an email.
All right, everyone clear on this? All right. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose entering executive session? Any abstentions? Passes. Going into executive session now. Ooh, I think it did resume perfectly.
Good work,
yeah.
Sir.
It may be a very short
time. All right, guys. Yeah, tiny recording, if you will, Martin. Tiny.
Well, it was only five,
guys.
So it'll still include all the rest.
Hypothetically. Anyway. All right, guys, great meeting. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn? I was going to say, I'm surprised nobody left on that. All right, Scott, thank you very much. Any discussion? All right, guys, with that, we move to vote. Does anybody oppose adjournment? Any abstentions? Meeting is officially adjourned at 10:32 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, all.
Wahoo!
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Everyone have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.